I am so excited for another year of Mums. My name is Deshwa Joyce, and I'm the head mentor mom. That doesn't mean anything except for, like, I have to make sure everybody's here. It's not because I know more or because I've parented longer, but I hope you share the same enthusiasm. As moms, we have so much to learn, and you've come to the right place if you want to find out ways to improve your parenting skills. We have a great lineup of topics this year, super table leaders, and fabulous steering team members who've been working since late May, actually, to get this year going. A lot of planning has been done. And we do have mentor moms who you'll meet in a minute. As mentor moms, we want you to know that we did not parent perfectly, and we did not have perfect children. We still don't. But we too craved learning from older moms how to be better moms ourselves. We don't know the answers to all your questions, but we do have what we call years of experience. So before I introduce these women to you, I just want you to note what was written in the bulletin yesterday, and it just kind of made me giggle. It said, "Stir It Up, led by Deshwa Joyce." I must admit, and my mom can attest to this, that I did a lot of stirring up back in the day. And then the bulletin went on to say, our mentor moms, led by Deshwa Joyce, will introduce the theme for the year. And I think it should have read, Deshwa Joyce and the Mentor Moms. And we would be Emmanuel's old girl band. It has a good ring to it, doesn't it? So without further ado, Deshwa Joyce and the Mentor Moms. I imagine things have been stirred up in your house ever since your first child came home. And life has never quite been the same. Your schedule has been stirred up, your family room has been stirred up with toys, and your children stir up one another. And at times you feel like you're going stir crazy. So much packed into that one little word, stir. So mentor moms, will you help me tell the moms here what stir, S-T-I-R, really means?
Well, I studied STIR, an acronym for short-term interest rate, in my business college. And I wasn't long into my parenting when I realized that there was a connection between parenting and finance, because my toddler had a very short-term interest rate. I mean, her attention span was about this long, especially if we were trying to learn a new task or simply sit still. Talk about market volatility. So I know that that's normal for a child, but it was new to me. My MBA had not prepared me. And quite frankly, I was a little concerned about how I would help her to increase her focus for the long term. Clearly, my whole business plan needed to be amended. So I decided that I should probably invest in really understanding where she was developmentally, the things that she was interested in, and the things that she was naturally drawn to. And you know, we just tried new things. We went to the library, we read books, we played soccer, we went to every pet store and nature center in Northern Virginia. And you know, as she matured and developed, and as I grew in understanding her and grew in my patience, it seemed that her interests diversified and increased as well. Don't get me wrong, there were still a lot of times when our market plummeted. But truthfully, as I really invested in getting to know her and getting to know my children, the same will be for you. If you invest in really understanding them and getting to know them, I can assure you there will be long-term gains.
No, no, Ingrid, that's not what STIR means at all. What it really means is stop thinking, it's reliable. I'm talking about the brain here, this mold that a friend gave me. So And the way the brain helps us interpret our brain, sometimes it can be tricky, ladies. When I was a young mom, I felt like I was always behind. I had meals to cook. I had dishes to clean. I had endless laundry to do. I had children to entertain all day long. And quite honestly, sometimes I felt like a failure. I struggled with that. And your brain wants to kick into comparison mode, which is the killer. So I just want to encourage you not to fall in the trap that I did at times of just the comparison. Because honestly, my kids were not, let's just say, ready for preschool. My children didn't know a B from a D when they started school. They were not early readers at 3 or 4, like some kids are. And forget me teaching them how to tie their shoes. That's what I bought Velcro shoes for. They learned in kindergarten from a kindergarten teacher. It was fine. But I just want to encourage you that there are going to be times that you might feel like you have some mommy guilt. And if you haven't felt it yet, you will. But I want to encourage you with the fact that even in those times that you feel that way, that you are not alone in this journey of mothering, that God is right there with you. The Lord has blessed you in motherhood, and He is going to help instruct you and teach you the best ways for you to mother the child that He's given you, not everybody else's child. So I want to encourage you with that. And we sometimes need to retrain our brains into not listening to the message that will cause us down a slippery slope, but we need to stop and listen and hear what God has to say from His Word about how we can be the best moms that we can be to the children He's blessed us with. One of my go-to verses has always been Philippians 4:13, which is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That I can rely on. That stirs me.
I just have to say amen to that. I so could have used that lesson, because I tended to feel guilty a lot, especially when my children were disobedient. And I was at my worst then, because I didn't want to be that nagging mom. So I found that this acronym, short-term incentive for responding, was very helpful. It changed my life and my parenting. Ladies, do you remember when we spent all those years investing in our children, teaching them right from wrong, and how to follow our lead? Well, it just took a while for me. But I eventually got to the place where I understood that discipline is more about training and less about punishment. So I started to lovingly work with my children, teaching them what God has to say about obedience. The first verse my children learned was Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Though it took only a few days to memorize the scripture, it took a few years before they ever really caught on. And through it all, my children learned to respond to my gentle reminders and instruction. What a relief that I was no longer Hagar the horrible, but the low-key, fun-loving, disciplining mom.
I appreciate what you said, but I think that STIR stands for Start Thinking It's Reasonable. If I were to tell you that we have a little over 100 days before Christmas, do you feel overwhelmed? Do you feel excited? We can get caught up in trying to create a Martha Stewart Thanksgiving, or having a perfectly decorated mantle with 3 little Christmas trees, singing pretty Christmas carols, and in the process we get exhausted and we can be short with our kids. We need to keep it simple, sister. There are many ways to involve our kids in celebrating the holidays. We can focus on Thanksgiving, we can celebrate the birth of a Christ child, and we can do that by keeping it simple. November's meeting is going to focus on how we can do that with some ideas about celebrating that involves our kids. So let's keep it reasonable.
interesting, but I'm not so sure that's what STIR means. To me, it means special technical inspection and repair. When I think about our roles as women, many of us have careers. Some of us do a lot of volunteering, but we all are in a place where we realize that our motherhood is not the only thing that defines who we are. So that helps me think about my role as a wife. And long before our little people came on board, my husband and I had a life together. We went out and we did things. We didn't have to worry about babysitters. We had total freedom. So now that we have children on board, it takes time sometimes, and I have to think that our children can totally control all our time and manipulate all of our free time together. So I need to inspect my marriage from time to time and make necessary repairs. And sometimes that means I need to think about the time that I'm spending with my husband, if I am making him a priority. And also, that also means I need to check the tone I'm using when I speak to him. And I need to make sure that he knows he is my number one. I need to always keep showing up while I keep dancing with the one I love. And if I ever get out of kilter, then I need to make necessary repairs. Because I believe STIR means special technical inspection and repair of my marriage.
Wow. I don't know about y'all, but I feel a little bit intimidated by these amazing women. They're my friends, but wow, aren't they smart and wise? And they've just really got it going on. Everything is A-okay with them. Every aspect of mothering that they just shared with us was so right on, so valuable, and so enlightening. And I know you're like hanging on every word because you want to be the very best mom to your kids that you can be. And you know, we don't have it all together. And I know that often, and maybe some of you feel this way, I can feel isolated, totally in a group. And I'm a party person, but we can feel that way. And other times, I can feel like, I have this mothering thing down. I need to be able to do this. I should be able to do this all on my own. But, you know, some of your kids go, I do myself. And I sometimes feel like that's what I sound like. But that's not what God has for us to want to be. Just do it by ourselves. We actually had the privilege of living in Hawaii when we were newly married. And that was beautiful. I loved it. It was paradise. But you know, it's an island. And living on an island sometimes can be very isolating. And you can feel very, very far away. So moms, islands may be paradise, but island parenting is not the way to go. Island parenting means I can do it independently. I'm a rock. I'm an island. You know the song, I didn't sing it on purpose. But that's not the truth. We need a community around us. We need others around us that are in the same place that we are, that are having the same goals, just like moms. We hope, and my stir it up, I almost forgot that. That's the most important thing. My stir it up is stop trying island parenting. We all need each other, and we all need to have people in our lives who will refresh us and encourage us and put us on the right track when we're going the wrong way. God never meant for us to be independent. So we hope, all of us, that you will look at moms this year as your parenting community. We hope you'll laugh. We hope you'll learn. We hope you'll cry a few tears. But we hope that you will every month leave here feeling inspired, encouraged, and connected. Moms, you do have a big job. And you are really rock stars. But none of us are going to be an island. Let's do this thing together, and let's make a great mom's community this year. Aloha!
Thank you so much, Mentor Moms, for that. Just to give you a little more of an idea about each month's setup, each month we will have kind of a resource review. It could be a book. We are also going...
I am going to move over here because I don't, you know, like all of a sudden it looks like you're wearing a mask. Yes. I'm not that short. But you know how good it is to get together and laugh. It's good for the heart, it's good for the soul. And sometimes we laugh alone, but better yet, to laugh with a friend, and better still, to laugh with a table full of friends. And that is what we're hoping for this year, that we can come to Mums each month expecting friendly faces around the table, heaps of encouragement, and laughter, which truly is good medicine. And it's our hope that when you leave this place monthly, you will leave with a smile on your face and encouraged as a mom and having some pearls of wisdom to add to your mommy necklace. And all this to say, we are excited for this year. This year, as in years past, we've chosen Bible verses to steer us. And tonight we'll look at this year's selection, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, and find out this time what stir really means. It reads, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So let's dive right in. These are words written by an author who nobody really knows who it was, to a group of people known only as Jewish believers in an unspecified year. So we don't have much to go on so far, do we, ladies? But the important thing is there is a message conveyed that was meant for those living 2,000 years ago, and it's also meant for us reading it today. And that's the power of the living Word of God. It's timeless. It's conveyed a message to the early Christians at the time of the writing, and it conveys a message to us today. And the two things could not be so different. So the audience reading it then and the audience reading it, let's say, in 2019 in Springfield, for instance. So to get the full flavor of this message, it's so important to look at the historical context. Stay with me now. I promise you that this will not be a history lesson, but I will be sharing with you a bit about what's happening at the time this book was written. So indulge me for a moment as we travel back to the year, I'm going to go with 67 AD, and look at where the book of Hebrews fits into history. Hebrews, like I said, was written to Jewish believers, those who had heard accounts of Jesus and had come to recognize him as their Savior, as their Messiah that they had been waiting for so long. Oh, and that would be so good if this was the end of the book. So the chapter's written, the book's closed, and we could just say hallelujah because they all found their Messiah. But life did not go so well for the first century believers. There was persecution for Christians in Israel, in fact, through the entire Roman Empire. And after the great fire of Rome Emperor Nero blamed the Christians for that tragedy and ordered so many of them to be martyred in unspeakable ways. So I think it's safe to presume that the Christians of that time feared for their very lives. So, reading these verses in our comfortable homes with adequate food on the table, presentable clothing, and no fear of our very lives being in jeopardy, it's quite different from what the average Christian was experiencing as they heard those words. In all that persecution, for the myriad of trials the believers were facing, the author tells his readers to consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. The author doesn't say how to outwit the enemy or how to retaliate. They were not told to stand their ground. After all, we have rights. No, they were told to stir up one another to love and good works. The stronger they were as believers in Christ, the more able they would be to withstand these perilous times. They needed one another, and we in 2019 do too. The author of Hebrews proceeds to give these new believers three directives. We've already talked about the first one, and that was to stir up one another to love and good deeds. And the second was to meet together, and the third was to encourage one another. So let me pause for a moment and remind us again that Hebrews really was written to a specific group of people at a specific time, we're facing specific persecution. But we, 2,000 years later, can also glean instruction from God as to how we should live as well. These new believers were urged to band together, to gain strength from one another and face the trials of the time together. I think that's good advice for today as well. We need that in our lives, don't we, moms? Parenting is tough, and sometimes we find ourselves in deep water, and we need others around us to throw us a life ring when we're going under. People to your right and people to your left tonight need you, and I dare say you need them too. So let's take a moment to unpack these three directives. The community of believers was told to, first thing, consider. Consider, that means to contemplate, to think about deeply. But it also was in the idea of continuous consideration. In other words, this should always be on their minds. How do I get to encourage or to spur on somebody? They needed to be what I called one anothering. And Paul said it this way, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. They weren't doing life only for themselves. No, they were doing life with one another and for one another. And what were they told to consider? How to stir up one another to love and good works. Now, we often think of stir in the negative, stirring up trouble or stirring the pot. Our little ones are masters at that, aren't they? But the stirring, this stirring, is more of a call to action. We are to impact others in such a way that they are encouraged to produce love and good works in their lives. It's contagious. And the love mentioned here is agape love, and that's a selfless, godlike love. And the good works were, again, selfless acts that displayed the sincerity of their faith. Basically, they were being encouraged to act like Jesus. Now take a moment to think what our churches would be like if we considered how to stir one another up to love and good works. How good it would feel to be loved by those we meet each Sunday and then pass that love on to others. That is one anothering at its finest. And I imagine we can do that at Mums as well. And so these early believers had to consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. And because love doesn't happen in isolation, these early believers were told not to neglect meeting together. Apparently, some were. But can't you just hear the author of Hebrews saying, no, you need each other. Assembling together will have great benefits. And I like to think in my sanctified imagination that they listened and they returned to meeting together. And now they had a community in which to encourage others. Encourage was the very oxygen their souls needed to face persecution. Moms, don't we need encouragement too? The encouragement that comes from meeting together once a month at Mums. Never forget that you might be the oxygen your table mate needs to breathe. Sharing what you're learning about mothering or encouraging those who simply are having a bad week. That's what these tables are for. So this is your mothering community right here. The friends at your table will also comfort you when you are having one of those terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days. Yep, even in Springfield we have them. So we're instructed to stir up one another to love and good works and not neglect the meeting together. And finally, there is the full-out plea to encourage one another. That's the one anothering again. The carrying of one another's burden, or the cheerleader on the sidelines with that great big megaphone saying, "Go team, you've got this." Well, in AD 67, it might have been the encouragement that they could finish strong. That's when persecution called for their very lives. It was the prayers of the saints, the uplifting words, that they would soon see Jesus and their forever life without fears and without tears would begin. That's the very essence of encouragement. Now, through the years, I've seen a lot of encouragement going on in this room around these tables. The shoulder to cry on and the words, "You're doing it. It's hard, but you're doing it." Or the words, "Great job," spoken at just the right moment. Or picking up somebody else's baby when the mommy is just so tired. It's happening here. And as mentor moms, we're glad to get a front row seat. I have a front row seat to something else. There's a pond that sits beyond our backyard gate. It's set in the midst of a lush green foliage, perhaps the perfect picture of serenity. But from time to time, the silence is pierced by the sound of geese honking. And I see that beautiful V formation we are so familiar with, circling overhead and honking. Well, these geese are flying to their next destination. And we can learn much from these geese. They have lessons to teach. And I think we could call it the geese, Hebrews 10, verses 24, 25. Did you know that as geese flap their wings, they create an uplift for the bird following them? And by flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds 71% greater flying distance than if any bird were to fly alone. That reminds me of Hebrews. Do not neglect to meet together as some do. Or did you know when the lead goose gets tired, it rotates back into formation and another goose flies at the point position? Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And my favorite one, the geese in formation honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. Ah, you can do it in geese speech. Yep, encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. The geese are in it together, each one needed, each one special, and each one encouraging the others. So ladies, it's time to remember to encourage one another and remember to stir it up and keep honking.
Thank you so much, Deshwa. This is going to be our table discussion time from here. And next month, October, the date flashes up, I think it's the 7th, we're going to Sarah Hinckley join.